FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
We can just play this problem with this.
No, we can just play this.
You know he is.
Yeah, with air guitar.
Sammy Hagar loves St. Louis. St. Louis loves Sammy Hagar, Mark.
Hey, great music selection this morning. I said, let me compliment you on that. Very nice. Thank you, Trisha.
You are very welcome.
Mark and I have pretty much identical taste in music, which means it's amazing that either one of us got married.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, a long time ago, my wife and I parted ways on that subject. I can just tell you that.
Yeah, that was the thing. Is like when Rachel and I, at one point very early on in our marriage, we're like, you know what we're going to do? You pick a song, and then I'll pick a song, and then we'll like get used to each other's music. I'm like, okay, that's great. So you know, so I'll pick out like a Motley Crue or something like that, and I get a 3.5 minute Motley Crue song, and she's like, okay, here's some of my 70s prog rock, and it's 18 minutes long, and the first 6 minutes are train noises and flutes or something like that, and I'm like, that's not fair. I should get like 4 songs now.
That I'd say, no, yeah, you would have to work that out.
Oh man. All right, so hey Mark, did you hear that there's another possible challenger to the president in the Republican primaries?
No, is it Amos? Did he announce today?
No, it's not. It's Mark Sanford, former South Carolina governor and congressman. He says, I'm really thinking about it. You know, I haven't decided, but hey, if you really want me to, I he didn't go as far as to say, I promise I won't run off to Argentina to find another mistress. But he did say, you know what, we just need to have this voice and I can be your voice. And I'm watching the video. And listen, I really liked Mark Sanford when he was governor and when he was in Congress, because, policy wise, very solid, very fiscally conservative. But come on, how do you decide you are thinking about running for president to challenge somebody in your own party when for 6 days your own security detail did not know where you were and you were the governor?
Yeah, you have to admire his dedication to his mistress, for sure. I mean, I think that's got to be at the top of his list of qualifications.
Yeah, they're all
insane. I'm not quite sure. The Never Trumpers, there are some of them that are hardcore. Some of them have actually seen the light, I think. But, Sanford's a great example of it. Mitt Romney is a great example of it. These people are might as well just change their party designation, in my opinion.
I mean, it's interesting because, and by the way, unfortunately, Mark and his mistress broke up. So there's that. Yeah. But here's the thing is, it's one thing to say, listen, if I think we're spending too much money or I don't like it, it's one thing to try to draw the conversation back to where you think it should be. But to say that I'm going to be your voice of reason when I lied to my entire state. I mean, and I think Mark Sanford's got solid policy positions, but dude, you need to just raise money for somebody else if that's what you think.
It's a track record issue. I don't know what they're going to do. And then you've got Biden on the other side who, continues to wallow in, he wants to run as Barack Obama light, but he's never going to achieve that. Barack Obama won't even endorse him, although he claims that he asked Barack not to endorse him.
Right, yeah.
Which we all know is garbage.
Yeah, and Mark, along those lines, I have keep asking the Cardinals to not make me the starting catcher. I mean, I'm just in the same vein.
Well, yeah, Obama's sitting back waiting to endorse Cory Booker or probably Kamala Harris. Yeah. I mean, Michelle's probably told him he has to endorse Kamala Harris. So that's the kind of insanity we're dealing with. Mike, I'm sure you probably covered this already this morning, but like just on economic policy alone, Bernie Sanders and all these people, I don't know where Sanford would stand on this. I would assume he'd be opposed to it. They're all endorsing $15 an hour minimum wage.
Yeah.
It was on the ballot in Missouri last time, and I'm sure it'll be on the ballot again where these insane lefties who've all failed basic economics but think they should be the leader of the free world want to force a false wage floor on us. And there's an article this morning out of Seattle, Washington, where a major restaurant chain has had to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy because of the forced increase in the minimum wage is basically putting them out of business. They started to raise food prices, which we knew would happen. And you know what? The public said, I don't think I'm going to eat out as often because prices have gone up so much. Therefore, there's no customer support for the increase in wages. And ultimately, these companies can't operate if they can't operate at a profit. That's just basic economics. Nobody on the left in this country seems to understand that. Joe Biden doesn't understand it, and he's supposedly the moderate in the Democratic Party. Where do they go?
Mark, how about this theory? I mean, what if they really do understand economics? However, they know that they can drive voters to the polls by promising a higher wage for everybody. I think this is more about voter turnout.
Well, you know, what if they do understand basic economics and their true intent is to destroy this country as we know it? You know, it may be just about, you're right, getting power so that they can continue driving us down this cliff towards socialism. I can't help but to get back to that argument, that conversation I had with Glover the other day. He said, you know, we're having a debate under our current system, under our Constitution. Do you think it's even possible that we could become a socialist country? And I'm like, our founders didn't tell us what form of economics we had to adopt in this country. They didn't tell us we had to be capitalist. Of course we could end up a socialist country. All it takes is a couple of election cycles where populists like AOC promise you a chicken in every pot and free college and all that stuff, and wham, you've destroyed people's ability to rise above the position their parents attained in life. You can no longer achieve the American dream. At that point, you can't go back. You can vote yourself into socialism, but you normally have to shoot your way out of it. There's no good end to that story, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's interesting now how when people say, oh, that could never happen, oh, you conservative talk show host, you, Mark, you're just being hyperbolic. But the fact of the matter is an increasing number of people who are Democratic voters, registered Democrats, members of Congress, identify openly saying, yes, I'm a socialist. Yes, this they you just don't understand what socialism is. And so when people say, oh, we could never do that, I think you're right. I think it absolutely can happen. I mean, Ronald Reagan famously said that we're never more than one generation away from losing our freedom. I mean, that's paraphrasing, but that's what he was saying. So when people, you'll notice that they're not running from that title anymore because they are making inroads with younger voters who are now foolishly saying, oh yeah, socialism's not that bad of a thing. My professor told me that.
Right. No, that's true. And you know, Ronald Reagan he's just a great, there's a great story there about when he used to first got involved in politics and ran the Screen Actors Guild Union in California. And that's where Ronald Reagan, the Democrats, started to see the danger posed by ideologies like communism and socialism. He recognized that many of the people in that Screen Actors Guild, union members out there, were actually members of the Communist Party and basically either didn't understand the consequences of that or fully understood the consequences of that, both of which are equally dangerous. And that's when he started his lifelong effort to wake people up in this country as to those consequences. And wasn't it Ben Franklin who came out and said, we've handed you a republic if you can keep it?
Yes, yes.
What conversations are we having today in this election cycle with people like Bernie Sanders standing up and endorsing getting rid of the Electoral College? If that happens, not only can we not keep it, we've already lost it.
Yeah, I actually had that debate on the Glover Show a couple weeks ago with a Democratic state representative who, you know, and she just so forcefully said, yeah, that's why we have to get rid of the Electoral College, or as she put it, the Electoral College. She said, you know, that's just common sense. Of course we have to do that. There was no thought as to why it's there. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I understand that you're on the left. I understand you're a Democrat. That's fine. That's your district. But you do understand that a state like Missouri gets screwed, absolutely screwed, if we get rid of the Electoral College.
It's all about power, Mike. It's all about power. Somebody's convinced them once we change this, we will forever hold power in this country and will never be challenged again by people who want to be fiscally or socially conservative. They understand that deeply, and they don't care. That's the scary part about it.
All right, Mark, you're visiting with family this week. You're going to be back in on Monday, but the important question is, how are the biscuits and gravy you were telling us about?
Outstanding. outstanding. My mom takes care of me all the time. I just can't tell you how much I've enjoyed that. Let me tell you.
All right, Mark, get some rest. We'll look forward to hearing you back here in the big chair on Monday, my friend.
Get more at 971talk.com.